Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Will the eye ever be suited for robotic surgery? Well, we are deeply thrilled to have one of the experts in this area, not only an ophthalmologist and a biomedical engineer. I would say he's probably the Muhammad Ali of ophthalmology. What he has done in transforming ophthalmology into frontline invention, creation, etc. He's been picked as one of the top 10 inventors in the past 25 years by one journal. He has over 100 patents. He's an editor of magazines. He's on the board of governors of research foundations and a clinical professor of ophthalmology. He has done so much for ophthalmology and transforming it into the wonderful state that we know. And thanks so much, Steve Charles, for being with us today. Can you share
my pleasure,
a little bit?
The difference between me and Muhammad Ali, I'm not deceased, Paul.
I love it. Actually, you're from Tennessee and not from Kentucky.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. Can you tell us a little bit about robotic surgery, since most of us have no idea except that there's a Da Vinci machine that can work on the abdomen?
Correct. So when if you look at robotics from a purely dictionary perspective, the definition is pre-programmed and autonomous. So is that the case in any robotic surgery? Actually, no. So none of them are pre-programmed and autonomous. So they're actually more like SI jets. They're more like operate by wire. So in this, like a fly-by-wire airplane. So just purely operating by wire doesn't accomplish anything. You move around a handle that's a virtual surgical instrument, which is referred to as a haptic, and then the slave robot moves around to emulate your motion. Just making that electronic, that connection, instead of purely mechanical where you hold the instrument in your hand, that per se doesn't do anything. And in fact, that's kind of the case with the Da Vinci robot. And it doesn't, but I defined the term some years ago of dexterity enhancement. And dexterity enhancement means what can we do to make, as we move this haptic around, this virtual instrument handle, we can make the slave robot perform better than we would freehand. Well, what are some of the things we could do? Tremor filtering. If it turns out is at about 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, whereas your volitional bandwidth tops out at about 5 hertz. So there's a way to filter it out. And the Da Vinci robot does that, but tremor's not a problem in prostate surgery or robotic-assisted vaginal hysterectomy either, or in inguinal herniography. It turns out that the robot, for example, was initially targeted toward cardiac surgery, and there's some limited applications, mitral valves in particular, but for beating heart surgery, it didn't work very well. Most of the people that pushed it abandoned it, and it doesn't work for CABGs as well. Their anastomosis weren't as high quality. So there's a lot of hype around the Da Vinci robot. The people in the industry call it billboard technology. You can't make money out of this hospital except by attracting patients and marketing it and putting it on your billboard. So, in fact, you lose money every time you use the Da Vinci robot. And to date, it hasn't been shown to have better outcomes in prostate surgery. It does not improve tumor margins. That's a big deal. Less cancer, right? It doesn't improve impotence and incontinence. That's a big deal. It only improves time of stay in the hospital, which is a bit of an artificial billing thing because staying a day or two extra, although it's billed much higher than that, actually costs the same as staying in a hotel with catering 3 times a day, so room service 3 times a day. So, in fact, the whole money-saving thing that people type is really not there. The knee surgery robots that Stryker has from Mako, once again, very limited evidence that it improves outcomes. I built robots for neurosurgery and spine because my dad died of a brain tumor and he asked me to. That's what I focused on. And in fact, we did dexterity enhancement. We not only scaled your force down to make you more gentle, we removed tremor, we scaled your motion down, we did things called no-fly zones. But I was targeting skull-based neurosurgery and spine. Stryker bought my company, elected to use it for knee only, which thankfully was not my drive. And people constantly said, well, Steve, you're the robotic guy. I'm sure you're building robots for eye surgery. Why didn't I do that? Several reasons. The most important of which is anesthesia. Eye surgery is done under local, or in cataract surgery, topical anesthesia. And you've got a sharp instrument, scissors, forceps, picks, blades of various types inside the eye. And the patient suddenly wakes up from when there's sleep apnea, or has a twitch or an itch, or just is nervous and shakes their head around, which happens all the time with us in vitreo retinal surgery and in cataract surgery as well, you've got a big problem trying to somehow neutralize that. And those who are the wannabes in robotic eye surgery have simply chosen to ignore that problem. And so there are numerous companies that were in university programs that were targeting robotic eye surgery, all of which have gone by the wayside for good reason. About this issue, you can't successfully track the head and the eye at such a safety level and such a data rate to handle this problem of a patient getting nervous and suddenly moving their head from side to side or bending their neck with their head forward when they fell asleep under local anesthesia for a moment. They're tired and nervous and they fall asleep, so they're sedated a little bit and they wake back up. And so, in short, if eye surgery was done under general anesthesia routinely and neuroparalytics were used, in other words, if muscles were paralyzed, not just the patient put to sleep so they couldn't, as we say, buck during surgery, then you could, in fact, do it. And that's how neurosurgery is done, but not eye surgery. So huge, big problem, not there. Now, if you broadly go back to the definition of robotic surgery, instead of saying an arm, oh, it's a robotic arm, if you said pre-programmed autonomous, it's been done. It's called femtosecond laser surgery. Why is that a robot? Because they couple, I call it shared aperture, they acquire a 3D optical image called OCT, build a 3D model, an optical model of the front of the eye in seconds. And the doctor then designs, like CAD-CAM, you know, computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing, what they want to do with the laser. And then on that same shared aperture, so there's no relative motion, you don't have to say, well, we know where it is in the imaging model, where is it on the patient? Well, it's on the same system. So right then and there with this contact-based system, they deliver laser energy. That, in fact, is robotic surgery, and it works very well. People say it doesn't look like a robot. You know, it's not R2-D2. It doesn't have an arm on it. No, it doesn't. But it is coupling. It is truly image-guided surgery, OCT driving. Now, why don't you do that in retina? That's the one. They have to raise the pressure in the eye and stabilize, and you can't do that for 20, 30 minutes. Is there a real need for robotic surgery? Well, what it's been touted for by those who wanted to push it and try to raise investor money or get research grants to do it, they were clueless about it, and there are many people like that, wanted to do it to cannulate retinal veins. But meanwhile, anti-VEGF compounds, drugs like Eylea and Lucentis, and to a lesser extent Avastin, work extremely well for retinal vein occlusions. There's absolutely no need to try to cannulate veins in the optic nerve, the central vein, or branch vein. So so in short, the push for that is gone because there's better treatments anyhow. So I'm not a big believer that, you know, soon we'll have robotic surgery. The Steve Jobs fanboys, I've never been impressed with Steve Jobs as a technologist, Steve Jobs as a marketeer, but those who learn their technology in the Wall Street Journal and are fans of Steve Jobs tend to think that, well, won't we someday couple our iPhone to a little robot that will do all the surgery? No. Now, what about swimming robots, free-floating ones that go in retinal vessels? That's been talked about for many, many years. There was a movie 40 years ago called Fantastic Voyage. It is ridiculous. Yep. Why is it ridiculous? Because they don't deliver enough force to remove plaque from vessels or to remove scar tissue because they're too tiny. So that whole notion of intravascular robots is just ridiculous, but numerous people who don't know better seem to talk about it. So, in short, robotic surgery has been invented. It's the femtosecond coupled with OCT and it works, but robots as an arm, not going to happen.
Well, the other flip side of all this is that eye surgery and vitreoretinal surgery has progressed so much that you don't need robotic surgery.
Well said. Well said.
And people like you, Steve, have been a major leader and a emblem of excellence for all of us, whether we're retina guys or not. So I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information about robotic surgery, eyes, etc., visit this segment or any of my segments on the show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening, thank you for caring, and thank you for being interested in staying healthy.